We pray this in your name. Amen. Ah, someone loved me some cough drops. Very nice. Thank you. I got someone in my... Everyone was handing me cough drops. I'm probably going business right now. All right. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn them out. Get them out. And we're going to turn to Revelation chapter 13. And hopefully my brain will work logically. I'll stick with my notes so I don't get lost here. All right. Yeah, that buzzing's back. That go away? Okay. Let's hope that works. Okay, now we're continuing through our study in the book of Revelation, understanding the book. Now here's the basic timeline of the book. And we are in that tribulation period. We are in our study, not in our life right now, but in the study. That 70th week of Daniel, also known as Jacob's trouble in the last 3.5 years of it. Now where we are in that tribulation period is this next one, where the seventh trumpet has sounded, but the first bowl judgment has not taken place. God has broken the timeline, the action for a few chapters, and he's filling in information for us. He's given us more detail of what is happening during this time. Now today we're going to be in chapter 13 with a sermon entitled The Rise of the False Prophet. We're going to be verses 11 through 18. Before we get to that verse, I'd like to go back and look at a verse that Gordon covered last week in his sermon. So I want to go back to Revelation 13:4. So they worship the dragon. We know the dragon is Satan. So they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worship the beast saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" So, who are the people focused on there in that verse? The beast. Who is like the beast? Who was able to make war with him? But that's who they're focused on. But it says there in the beginning, they worship the dragon. Do you think they actually understand they're worshiping Satan at this point in time? No. They're focused on the beast. But power behind the beast, we know, is the dragon. You know, it's just like today. It's no different. Many people worship Satan and actually never know they are doing this. And that shouldn't be new, because all of us at one time worshiped Satan in ignorance. Let me show you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." Dead in trespasses. He made us alive. What does that mean, dead in trespasses and sins? Were we physically dead? Soul? Well, we're not physically dead because, you know, if you're physically dead, you can't call out to Christ and be saved. So it's not talking about physical death here. We're body, soul, and spirit. But the Bible tells us that we're dead in sins. Now, soul is who you are. You're alive. Your body's alive because of the soul. But you're spiritually dead. You see, the spirit aspect of us is what God gave us in the creation to connect with him, God, who is spirit. But see, we're dead spiritually because of sin. But he makes us alive. And the Holy Spirit comes into us. Look what it says. He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who is that? That's Satan. We were walking with Satan and didn't even realize it. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. And I don't care if you grew up in church or not. You were one of these at one point. Everybody was. Dead in trespasses and spiritually dead. Now, before Christ saved us, before he brought us out of our darkness, the deception that we lived in, we were children of wrath. We were children of disobedience. And we were serving, whether we realized it or not, we were serving the cause of Satan in this world. We were doing it in complete ignorance, but we were children of Satan. Jesus told a crowd in John chapter 8, a crowd that supposedly said they believed on him and were good synagogue attenders and good Christian or good Jews. And in John chapter 8, he tries to tell them, no, you're full of sin. You have a sin problem and you're going to need me as a savior. You're not free. You've been deceived. You're sinners. You're lost. He tries to explain the truth to them and they will not hear it. And they get angry. And know what he finally says? Because they say, oh, we're of God. We're God's children. He says, no, you're of your father, the devil. That's what he tells them. You see, until we come to that saving moment where we're born again, we're not children of God. Yes, we were created by God, but we're not children of God. Those who are in Christ are children of God. Those who are outside of Christ are actually children of this world, of Satan. And they don't realize that. Ephesians 2:4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. It's God's love, mercy, and grace that saves us. Makes us spiritually alive with his Holy Spirit, giving us great hope and the blessings to come. So it's clear, when a person is saved, they become a children of God at that point. When a person is not in Christ, a sinner or an unbeliever, they are all children of Satan, which we all used to be at one time too. Now many today will say, well, that's not me. I used to go to church as a kid. I was baptized and saved as a child. I don't attend church now. I don't have any desire at all to talk about God or serve God or think about God, but you know, I'm okay with God. I'm a child of God. There's people sitting in church today. Oh, I'm a child of God. I'm sitting in church. See, today we're going to see a lot of deception in our passage. But what we have to understand is that deception has been reigning since the Garden of Eden. And many times we're deceived and we have no idea that we're being deceived. A lot of people think they're children of God, and that's what's so bad about this great deception. Matthew 7:21 says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. See, it's those who do the will of the Father who have guarantee of salvation. You can attend church, you can serve in church, you can serve in ministry, you can do all sorts of good things as a Christian and still not make it. What is the will of the Father? Well, that's, I could go over many verses to try to paint the best, biggest picture, but I don't have time for that this morning. But what I do have time is I'll narrow it down precisely. John 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, this is the same group, they told him their father, the devil, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Abide in my word. What does that mean, though? Abide in my word means complete obedience to the word. Complete existence in the word. It defines who you are as a believer. It changes who you are as a believer. It dictates how you live your life, how you treat others. It is your authority of your life. But again, the old statistic, 82% don't even want to read the word, let alone abide in the word. They're good people, but they're not true children of God. Today, many people want to ignore or reject parts of the word. That's not abiding in the word. Jesus says, if you abide in my word, complete surrender and obedience to the word. It's not making up your own religion. It's not making up your own Christian God, making up a new Jesus that's okay with your sin, okay with your laziness in the faith. No, it's abiding in the word. There are those who believe they're free because they know about the truth. But Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth, then the truth shall make you free. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You have to know Christ. How do you know Christ? If you abide in Christ, if you abide in his word, then you know the truth, and you have been set free. Many believe today they're free. They're not. In reality, they're deceived, and they still follow the prince of this world, Satan, in complete ignorance. And they can still be doing that while sitting in church. Just like those we see in Revelation 13, 4. Let's go back there. So they worship the dragon. The people don't realize they're worshiping Satan when they're worshiping the beast. But that's who they've aligned themselves to at this point. They're following Satan. They think they're just following a great human leader, but no, they're actually following the dragon. And to make sure that they will continue to follow the beast up until their final destruction, Satan raises up another beast, a second beast, that'll promote and enforce a continued allegiance to the first beast, the Antichrist, because that's ultimately allegiance to Satan. So let's go to verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. It's gentle. It's not like the first beast who's vicious and power hungry. And this one's like a lamb. Spoke like a dragon, though. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth to those who dwell in it to worship. Worship the first beast. A lamb that causes to worship. Satan always wants to be the most high. He always wants to try to counterfeit what God has done. So here, another beast who's going to initiate a new world religious system. Starting out with bringing all the world religions together as one. And eventually morphing them into a complete worship of the Antichrist. Basically Satan. The second beast is known as the false prophet. A man who will lead the world into this false religious system of Antichrist worship. It's all been driven by the power and authority of Satan. Now, this is something we're talking about in the future happening. But guess what? The groundwork for this future one world religious system under the Antichrist has already been being worked on. It's been being, the foundation for it has been being laid for a long time now. A lot longer than you realize, probably. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 4. The Apostle John here, the last of the disciples, writes, Beloved, Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, capital A, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Is he saying the Antichrist is already in the world here? First century AD when he's writing this, is he saying the Antichrist is already in the world? No. He says, this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which is already in the world. What's the spirit of the Antichrist? Who's behind the Antichrist? Satan. Satan's already working with the many false religions we have today, including false Christianity. We got many sects of that now. Corrupting churches, bringing false teachers, prophets and apostles, so-called, into churches and on TV today. He's already laying the groundwork. He's been doing it for a while now. 1 John 2. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you heard, the Antichrist, capital A, is coming. That's the man that's going to be the Antichrist. The Antichrist is coming. But even now, many Antichrists, small a, have come. By which we know that it is the last hour. Look what that says here. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. And but they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Many of the false teachings are going to come from inside the church. False teachers. Teaching false doctrines. Twisting scripture. False churches. False pastors. All these things we see today. You don't have to be sold out to Christ. You don't have to take your faith serious. Just say a prayer, get baptized, get your fire insurance, and then go live your life. That's what's taught. And then you're okay with God. God just wants you to do this religious thing. He just wants you to say this prayer, these magical words, and then get dunked in magic water. And you're good for the rest of your life. You can live whatever way you want. Those are false teachings. By false pastors and teachers. They've been laying the foundation for this one world religion under the second beast, the false prophet, for a while now. Now you may be asking, how could all the world religions come together? How could they do that? They all teach different things. Well, we've got to remember this. There's only one true faith. It's what God has revealed to humanity. He blessed all the nations through the Jews by bringing the Messiah. And it's simple. You put your faith in that Messiah. That's for all nations. There's one faith for all people. So all the other belief systems out there, they don't come from God. The Bible tells us they're doctrines of demons. They're the spirit of Antichrist. There are many little Antichrists running around. Who's the spirit behind all that? Satan, the great deceiver, the father of lies. So guess what? If the same spirit is around all those false religions, do you not think that spirit can bring all those religions together? And you see, there's a common thread that goes through every religious system in this world, every belief, except one. Every belief, from the teachings of the Buddha to Islam to whatever you want to call out, excuse me, works. That's the common thread. You have to do something. There's a list. There's pillars. There's something you have to do to make yourself worthy enough. There's only one system in the whole world, one belief that says you can't do anything to earn it. You got to receive it by grace. So the world systems will come together. It's already beginning to happen. It's happening to you every day, and you probably don't even realize it. Happened to me the other day, sitting in traffic out here. You ever see these little symbols? Coexist. Have you seen that on the back of a car? Bumper sticker? Be looking. Be looking. You'll be surprised how many of these coexist stickers you see on the back of bumpers on cars today. What this movement is saying, listen, all the religions are true. Yeah, Lord, there's truth in all of them. And, you know, it doesn't really matter what you believe. As long as you believe in something sincerely, God will count that as good for you. I've heard people say that. It doesn't matter what you believe. As long as you believe sincerely, God will say, oh, well, you're sincere. You're completely wrong in what I taught. But since you're sincere in your false beliefs, you're okay now. You can just believe in whatever you want. Or you can take from here, 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 and create your own little belief system. Just, they're all the same. There are many paths to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but through me. A lot of people say they believe that. I said I believed that for 28 years of my life. I didn't really believe it because I did not abide in the Word. There's the difference. Are you truly a disciple of Christ? Because see, Christ never called anyone to be a Christian. He called all of them to follow him. To be saved by him and follow him, to be his disciples. He's called all of us to be disciples, and to be a disciple indeed is to abide in the Word. I did not do that, proving myself to be a false believer. You can't make up your own way. The religions are coming together. The spirit of Antichrist is already at work. I'm going to turn the light off so you can see this. Don't start it yet. There is a film here now. It's not in English, but there are subtitles. Subtitles. So I want you to be able to see those subtitles, hopefully. Okay, play.
La mayor parte de los habitantes del planeta se declaran creyentes. Esto debería provocar un diálogo entre las religiones. No debemos dejar de orar por él y colaborar con quienes piensan distinto.
Confío en Buda.
Creo en Dios.
Creo en Jesucristo.
Creo en Dios, Allah.
Muchos piensan distinto, sienten distinto, buscan a Dios o encuentran a Dios de diversa manera. En esta multitud, en este abanico de religiones, hay una sola certeza que tenemos para todos. Todos somos hijos de Dios.
Creo en el amor.
Creo en el amor.
Creo en el amor.
Creo en el amor.
Confío en vos para difundir mi petición de este mes. Que el diálogo sincero entre hombres y mujeres de diversas religiones conlleve frutos de paz y justicia. Confío en tu oración.
Islam, Islamic prayer beads, a menorah, statue of Buddha, and baby Jesus. Just different ways to get to God. What you saw in that little clip was the deception of the prince of this world. Right there in front of you. The prince, the spirit of Antichrist. And you hear what the Pope said? We're all children of God. Doesn't matter what you believe. We're all children of God. We're just loving each other. What's wrong with that message? What's wrong with that message is it's a lie, it's deception. What does the Word of God says? By nature, we're children of wrath, children of disobedience. We are of our father, the devil, until we are saved. And the only way we're saved is when we repent of our sins and put our faith in Jesus Christ alone. It's deception. One world religion is coming. The false prophet will show great signs Even though Jesus specifically told us not to look for signs, this one will show great signs, great wonders. The people, the false prophet will deliver to the people what they want to see. Revelation 13:13. He performs great signs, so that even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Don't underestimate Satan and his powers. The demonic realm has real power, nowhere near God, but they still have a lot of power. They can perform miracles as what we would classify as miracles. Verse 14, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs. The Bible warns us that Satan will bring and use signs and lying wonders. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The coming of the lawless one, that's another reference to the Antichrist, is according to the working of Satan. We know that's the power behind the Antichrist. With all power, signs, and what kind of wonders? Lying wonders. I don't know. Someone may be listening. You know, I'm listening to this on the internet. I know we have some that listen on the internet. Let me tell you, I'm being very clear. There are churches today that are getting their people ready to fall under the deception of the false prophet because of seeking signs and wonders and miracles. We are not to seek these things. But so many people are getting programmed. That's how you experience God. It's no longer knowing God and learning about God. It's experiencing God. And it's the emotions and the glamour and the show and the signs and the wonders and entertain me. It's deception. And look at verse 10. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Today, too many churches have become corrupt, guiding their people into seeking signs and wonders. So the future time of the Antichrist and the false prophet, many will have been conditioned and ready to believe that the Antichrist and the false prophet must be from God. Because look at the signs and the wonders. Let's go back to Revelation 13:13. So the great signs he'll deceive with those signs, telling those on who to those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast. Oh, this is stepping up the worship even more, isn't it? First, he's going to deceive them into this world system that we're all one, we're all here to love. But then there's going to be one that rises above, the Antichrist, and now we must make an image. Make an image. Verse 15. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast. What is this image of the beast? We don't know. We don't know. But now there's breath in this image. And the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Oh, this is stepping up worship at a whole new level. This is going to happen in modern times? An image? Worshiping an image? Killing those who don't? I mean, I can remember things like this in the far past, right? When men were ignorant, right? Let's go back to one of those times. Daniel 3. Nebuchadnezzar. Babylonians. First world empire. First world leader. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image. Gold, province of Babylon. Then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, to who? Peoples, nations, and languages, whole known world at that time, that at the time you hear the sound of all the instruments, the symphony, with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image. The king Nebuchadnezzar is set up. Excuse me. Whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Death. First world leader, last world leader, doing the same thing. So if they did it before, they'll run and they can't do it again. Remember, Satan was the one behind this. But you know, we don't have to go back this far to see a people worshiping an individual, ready to lay their lives down for a person. Let's go to the next slide. Who's that? Hitler, right? Do you know the nation of Germany became Hitler worship? Do you know they used to have a solid foundation of Christianity? Some great Christians came out of Germany. But when Hitler came in and his book, Mein Kampf, came in, do you know Mein Kampf replaced the Bible over several years? Replaced the Bible in Germany? And Mein Kampf is filled with hatred, racism, great deception. You know, children in Germany were taught songs that sang to their Lord, capital L, and capital S, Savior, Lord and Savior, Hitler. You can Google it and you can listen to them sing it. People were willing en masse to worship this man, lay down their lives. But you know, we can go back, we don't even have to go back this far. We can go to modern day today and see this. North Korea, people worshiping idols of their leaders that they think are gods. You say, well, yeah, they've been brainwashed, they've been beaten and battered. Okay, but still, modern times, people worshiping. But you see, something else is going to happen here during this time of worship of the Antichrist in his image. Let's go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, lying wonders, with all unrighteous deception among those who are perished, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion. They shall believe the lie. There's a lot in there. I don't have time to unwrap it all. Because they did not receive the love of the truth. They didn't receive it. So it's implied they had a chance to receive Christ. I choked myself. They had a chance to receive Christ, be saved. They said, no. Whatever reason. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion. Here's one thing I can say that's applied in here. If you're sitting in here this morning, or you're listening to my voice somewhere, and you know you're not living with Christ, you know you're not in Christ, you're false, you're a false believer, you're just playing the show. If you know that's you, and you have an opportunity right now to repent and call out to God and be saved for the first time in your life, and you go, no, I don't want that right now. And then, let's say the rapture happens, tribulation period begins next week. You're going to be sent strong delusion as a judgment because when you had the opportunity to receive Christ, you did not want him. So you will believe a lie. Strong delusion will bring the people of that time into complete worship of the Antichrist. Let's go back to Revelation 13 and finish up here. Verse 16. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or their forehead. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is the wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. His number is 666. The unholy Trinity. We have the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Here we're going to have the unholy Trinity of Satan as Father, the false prophet, or the Antichrist as the Son, and the false prophet as the Spirit. 666. With this mark, without this mark, you can't buy or sell. It means you can't travel. Because you have to buy plane tickets, train tickets, or you got to buy gas for your vehicle. This mark controls it all. It's connected to the worship of this beast and accepting him as your object of worship. So no one's going to be deceived into taking the mark. Okay? It's going to be very clear when you receive this mark, it's in the worship and allegiance to this Antichrist. But what is the mark? Want to watch a video? Play it.
4 years ago, we started to wonder, what would shopping look like if you could walk into a store, grab what you want, and just go? What if we could weave the most advanced machine learning, computer vision, and AI into the very fabric of a store so you never have to wait in line? No lines, no checkouts, no registers. Welcome to Amazon Go. Use the Amazon Go app to enter. Then put away your phone and start shopping. It's really that simple. Take whatever you like. Anything you pick up is automatically added to your virtual cart. If you change your mind about that cupcake, just put it back. Our technology will update your virtual cart automatically. So, how does it work? We used computer vision, deep learning algorithms, and sensor fusion, much like you'd find in self-driving cars. We call it Just Walk Out technology. Once you've got everything you want, you can just go. When you leave, our Just Walk Out technology adds up your virtual cart and charges your Amazon account. Your receipt is sent straight to the app, and you can keep going. Amazon Go. No lines, no checkout. No, seriously.
They are serious. There's already stores like this. Great technology. It's cool technology. I got no problem with technology. I love technology. Okay? How many of though the problem with this technology is it's through your phone? How many of you ever lost your phone? How many of you ever dropped your phone and it broke? All right? I washed mine the other day. Left it in my pants, washed it, and went through the... Thank goodness it survived. But it went through the whole wash cycle. So maybe there's a better way of doing this technology. Play the next one.
Todd Westby might just have a hand in shaping the future. The CEO of vending machine maker Three Square Market literally opening doors with automation that's turning some workers into high-tech machines of sorts.
This is a lot more than just some sort of novelty to you.
It is. It's reality. With all of the interest we've seen in it, I can tell this is definitely the future.
By injecting a rice-sized microchip into a willing employee's hand, all kinds of data can be programmed into them, from driver's licenses and medical ID cards to logging onto computers.
You have to hold it up to something such as this.
Even purchasing snacks in the company break room. More than 50 employees have volunteered.
How much did that hurt?
Didn't really hurt a lot.
A third holding off for now.
It kind of freaks me out a little bit.
Some experts suggest caution. Among the concerns, ID theft, health, and whether the chips can be tracked by GPS.
Most people don't really understand how this technology works, what data is collected, how it's stored, or who might be able to get access to it legally or illegally.
Three Square says their employees cannot be tracked by satellite. Melissa Timmons was skeptical, but is now chipped.
Yeah, right now it's only to buy a candy bar and get in our building, but there's a lot more that's going to be coming with it.
Chips off the new block.
I'll choose to pay with my hand here.
Cool and technology, once again, hand in hand. Ron Mott, NBC News, River Falls, Wisconsin.
I got chipped.
Hey, NBC.
All right. So that would really solve the problem of losing your phone, right? And you know what? If my bank called up right now and said, hey, we have a chip, you don't have to carry your wallet, or a debit card, or anything like that, I have no problem with that. Remember, if this is what we would call the mark of the beast in the future, some technology like this, It's understood when it's accepted at that point that it's in the world system of the Antichrist and you're worshiping that Antichrist. So you take this mark. It's not just the technology is evil. There's no such thing. Technology is not evil. So, go to the next slide. Could this be this mark that controls buying and selling in the future under the one world system of the Antichrist? Maybe. I find it fascinating, though. The old King James Version, right? Let's go old religion here, right? Revelation 14:9, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand. Or in their foreheads. Why the old King James? And I know these, I have their bios of people that were on the translating committee in the 1600s here. And some wise, smart men, theologians. And they said that the best translation in their aspect was not on the forehead or hand. It was in. Well, how do you make a mark in? 1600s, they're like, what? How do you make a mark in? You can't, on, yeah, in. Well, maybe that's it. Maybe that's what John was seeing when he wrote this. I don't know. But it is interesting how we have been going from a cash society to a cashless society. Everything used to be cash. Then we got, ATMs, you can get cash, and you had your ATM card. And then it went to a debit card, where you didn't need cash, you could just use your debit card. And then your debit card went through a transformation. What happened to the debit card? The chip! Now it has a chip on it. And then when they first came out, and they were transitioning from the old to the new, when you go to a grocery store or whatever, they would ask, what? Do you have the chip? Already programming us to go, hey, do you have the chip? Yeah, I got the chip, man. It's like slowly brainwashing us. Oh, yeah, chip's good. Yeah, we got the chip. Maybe it'd be better to take that chip and implant it into us. Let me finish. Revelation 13:16 causes all to receive a mark. No one may buy or sell except one who has the mark. Name of the beast, number of his name, 666. I'm going to stop here today. I'm going to challenge you with something, though. How many of you have been taught? I know I was. How many of you have been taught that in the end time, tribulation period, once a person receives the mark, their fate is sealed. They are doomed forever. You can't come back from that. How many of you have been taught that? I'm going to challenge that big time next week. I'm going to challenge that. I don't believe it. So if you want to hear that, you got to come back next week. All right, finally. There's great deception coming in the future. There's great deception now. There may even be some in here that are being deceived. I want to end with this, John 8. And Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Does the word of God dictate to you your life? Does the word of God, is there obedience to your life to the word? If there's not, you can't claim to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you're not abiding in the word, you are not free. Deception is all around us. Only the word of God is truth, and it's the only thing that brings the light into the darkness. If you're not abiding in the word, you know who you are. And the reason you're probably not abiding in the word is because you're not ever, had never been abiding in Christ Maybe you've been religious. You've been a good churchgoer. I understand that. That's what I used to do till I left home. Then I dumped it like a bad habit. But when I truly became a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, do you know when one of the first things the Holy Spirit brought into my life was to abide in the Word? To live it, to seek it, to know it. If you're not abiding in the Word, it's probably because you're not abiding in Christ. And you have just been deceived. Don't underestimate the dragon. Finally, if you are a born-again believer, child of God, someone, somewhere, somehow, someone was abiding in the Word, which caused them to have the ability and the opportunity to share the gospel with you and bring you out of the deception that you were in when you were a sinner and an unbeliever. Somebody was abiding in the Word, and they were able to lead you to Christ so you could be saved. Now, are you going to abide in the Word and do that for somebody else? 95% that are born in the church, grow up in the church, saved in the church, baptized in the church, will never lead one person to Christ. That's unacceptable.